Tucson. Good morning. Happy Monday to you. Welcome in to the 1030 The Voice studios with me, your host, Zach Yenser, here on Tipping Point Daily, in-depth news and discussion and conversation about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. Looking forward to a good kickoff today. S. Turan from Borderlands Brewing Company is my local business spotlight this morning. We're trying to do our best to dedicate one segment a day as much as possible when we can to a local business that we can support here in Tucson. And Borderlands Brewing Company has been doing some incredible, especially video work, on their delivery services of their goods. And so I wanted to have them on. Esteron has also made TV appearances and news appearances in the last week or so, talking about how they are not only trying to survive, but also support their workers and get through COVID-19. And then Greg Gerringer and I will talk for a few minutes about the role of the media during COVID-19. Why it's wrong to castigate the media, but why the media isn't helping. Right. So, yeah, we're going to find that middle ground. It's in there somewhere. Greg and I will find it. And then please stay tuned to the end of the hour. This is a big one. U.S. Senator Martha McSally calls in about 9:45 this morning to talk about the COVID-19 relief bill that is stalling in Congress. So I talked to her team on Saturday. The goal was that she would be getting on a plane at some point today and heading back home, and there would be a bill ready to go with both the Senate and the House, and everyone's good. It got to the end yesterday, procedural vote, and the Democrats pulled it way back. And I'll be honest, it's about, 12:08 Eastern time. I won't know until I talk to the senator today here in a few minutes what the heck is going on and where are we going. And so that became a much more interesting conversation yesterday. I just want to prove it to you guys. I just want to prove it to you that we are doing our best to cover what's going on with COVID-19. But tomorrow is our hour-long Tech and Tacos show, a monthly show where we talk about the high-growth technologies and startups and entrepreneurs here in Tucson. So today's a little COVID-heavy, but it's not going to be COVID all the way. I got to hand it to Hugh Hewitt, by the way, maybe about a month and a half ago. Every time he came on, it was COVID this, COVID that, COVID this, COVID that. And he was right, by the way. I bring it up because he said it was a big deal long before anybody else did. He's a center-right journalist. He airs on this station from 10 to noon. And he was talking about it for weeks before it was a big deal in the U.S. But anyway, all my promises to you is that my show for next month will not be drowning in COVID-19. Don't worry. I wanted to prove it to you. But we do want to cover the news that matters. By the way, I thought I had an election 2020 to talk about, but no one cares about election 2020 anymore. This is all-consuming, and I try to walk that line of it's important. We got to keep people up to date. We got to be smart about it. But there's also other news to talk about. So that's what we have. That's what we have going on. So I wanted to share two quick things to get us started. And this one cracked me up. So this is some levity in the face of some difficult times. Again, whether it's difficult because you're concerned about COVID-19 or it's difficult because you don't think it's that big of a deal and it's hurting the economy, it's difficult for everybody. It's a difficult thing. So this was hilarious. So over the weekend, there was this police report that came out that some guy walked into the El Rio Health Center on Congress, just a block west of the 10, and basically walked out. He posed as a delivery driver, walked in, stole 29 COVID-19 test kits on Friday from a health clinic, and walked out with it. My social media blew up, right? Because it's like, who is this guy? Why would he do that? The cops are saying, we need your help identifying him. He drives like a red Charger. He looks like this. 29 test kits. We need to find this guy. And of course, my social media blows up because, you know, how dare someone steal 29 test kits from a health center that serves, you know, that serves the community. Well, I'm still verifying this, but it gave me a chuckle. I wanted to kick off your Monday with this. On Sunday, the kits were returned to the El Rio Health Center. Yay! But here's the part two. According to sources, a new employee thought the kits were supposed to go to a lab for testing. He then delivered them to Sonoran Quest Laboratories. Employees at Sonoran realized the error and returned the kits to El Rio. It's a bad time to be a new guy in the office right now. Is it just me? Is that not funny? I mean, it went from this, you know, like, how dare humanity be so low, to this poor guy just delivering them to the wrong place, thinking he had to take them somewhere. And everyone's like, no, they stay at El Rio. So the case of 29 missing COVID-19 test tubes are solved as of this morning. So there is that. Hope that was a little levity. I'm trying to learn from my friends Chris King and Nikki Lee. They were on the show Friday. Both military vets, one a Democrat, one a Republican. A lot of people don't realize that one of the ways you get through stuff like this is having a little bit of a sense of humor. Not a lot, but a little. So I thought that was hilarious. It got me laughing this morning. The other thing is, and I just want to put this out as somewhat of a PSA, we're going to go to a quick break in a minute, and Esteron will be on from Borderlands Brewing Company, talk about his business and how we can support. I just want to put this out there. We talk about how do we flatten the curve? How do we manage COVID-19? How do we do social distancing but not kill the economy? And I think that's an important conversation to have. And I think it often lands out, well, what is the state going to do? What's the governor going to do? What are we going to do nationally? You know, we talk about bills in Congress, and those are all good conversations to have. I just want to encourage you about a few things that have come across my desk. There is a small business benefit initiative going on called Tucson Helping Tucson. It's April 10th through 12th. It's online, television, computer, mobile device, live streaming. Basically, the point is they are raising thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands of dollars from the local community to partner with an organization we've had on the show many times called the Community Investment Corporation. And what the CIC does is basically provide low-interest small business loans to businesses in our community. The men and women who stand to be hit the most from this, our local community is coming together and putting literally thousands of dollars lots of thousands of dollars into this to basically seed it into local businesses. I look at some local retail centers where people are funding basically thousands of dollars into a fund to help laid off workers for a couple weeks. And I'm not trying to be Pollyannish about this, but we can talk about the national level. We can talk about the state level. We can talk about what's the city of Tucson going to do. And all three of them have to get it right, right? But as people, as citizens, there's a lot that we can be doing, whether it's as small as a gift card or funding some of these big initiatives where we put money into our community and keep it going. So at some point, we can philosophize on this issue. We can debate response to this issue. At the end of the day, it's going to be all of us, standing up and taking care of our communities. Just wanted to encourage you, give you a chuckle and encourage you. When we come back, Esteron will be on the air, Borderlands Brewing Company, to talk about what they're doing, how we can support them. It's our local business spotlight. We'll be right back.
Listen to the live stream and find podcasts of your favorite shows at KVOI.com.
25 years ago, the University of Arizona took a bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. This year, we celebrate 25 years of success at the UA Tech Park. Whether it's 20 new startups at the U of A Center for Innovation, the new tech park at the Bridges that just broke ground, or the Forge at Roy Place, we're looking forward on Tipping Point to celebrating this anniversary year by telling the stories of the people and ideas through the University of Arizona driving innovation in our region, moving at the speed of business.
When did you lose control? Was it when you became a number and not a person? Or was it when you accepted that this is just the way things are? Truth is, you didn't lose control. You gave it up. Because you have a choice. You can make them too big to fail and fail to belong to something bigger. Or you can put your money where your values lie and make your community too strong to fail. The choice is yours. Or are you going to give that up too? Vantage West. Banks own you. You own us.
Federally insured by NCUA.
It's that time of year. Everyone hates it. It's tax time. But there's no reason to stress. Shanae and the team at Simply Bookkeeping and Taxes can take care of it all for you and make it simple and easy. For Tipping Point listeners only, Shanae is offering a one-time special offer of 50% off your personal or business tax prep. Call 520-838-0856 and let her know Zach sent you to get started.
So many of you listening right now are leading a successful and growing business here in Tucson. You know it depends on finding and keeping the right talent. Doing it right can help you stand out and have an edge as a leading employment brand. Wing it, and you might see a great candidate head to a competitor. The Talent Store has helped local Tucson companies like yours win the battle for talent through their recruiting services and consulting. Whether you're looking for a high-level leader, filling a key position, or just want to retain and develop your current team, visit yourtalentstore.com today for a free consultation.
Trusted local news and talk all day, every day. 1030 The Voice.
Tucson, welcome on back in. This is Tipping Point with your host, Zach Yenser. Daily in-depth news and conversation about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. We are queuing up for a small business spotlight today. Local business. Some local businesses are not small and are medium sized or large, and we love the scale of businesses in Tucson. Now, what I wanted to do, and I began to reach out to some local businesses over the last week and a half, and I said, look, you know, I want to be able to use the platform that I have here to spotlight local businesses that are kind of slogging through this, and I want to talk about what they're doing, what their challenges are, how we can support them, and get their local perspective. And so one of the guys I'm really looking forward to talk to is Esteron, Borderlands Brewing Company. I love how they're innovating through this season. We'll get to them. But just want to get that on the ground look at what's happening and drive as much support and business to them as possible. So on the air to join us right now is Esteron. S, happy Monday to you. Welcome on in.
Happy Monday. Thanks for having me.
Yes, absolutely. So tell us a little bit about Borderlands Brewing Company, and then we'll get into what you're doing right now and how we can help you.
Well, thank you so much. Well, obviously, Borderlands has been a brewing company here in Tucson, Arizona for 8 years. We've been established for about 10 years. It took us a couple of years to open up. We employ about 15 employees. With our tap room, our distribution, and our production side as well. And we probably have about another 15 contractors, from photographers to marketing to lawyers and bookkeepers and stuff. So this economic-wise, there's been an impact from our day-to-day by you know, taking the CDC guidelines and our local officials to remain closed until our government has a handle on this pandemic.
Do you feel like your kind of hand was forced on this issue, S, or as a business, were you already considering some of the some of what was eventually asked of you to do. Were you already considering that ahead of time, or what business decisions were you already planning to make in light of COVID-19?
So before Mayor Romero kind of asked us to close down, we were already thinking about different situations or playing with different scenarios that we could do. The first thing was limiting our events. So the first thing we did is we cancel events right away. We cancel our daily events for that square. You have 50% off or inviting Founders Clubs on Fridays. So we cancel all those events for the remainder of the month. So we were kind of strategizing to see how we were going to play this part, because you got to keep in mind that 40% of our revenue comes through distribution.
Mm-hmm.
So we were thinking, if we shut down the bar, and luckily for us, our venue, our bar is kind of it's pretty big in comparison to other breweries out there. So we were kind of like, well, at the very least, we can still host about 10 to 15 people here because it's still pretty big. But we were kind of relying on that and the distribution revenue. And
gotcha.
After Governor Ducey this last week announced the closure of bars and restaurants, then our distribution game completely changed, because it went from, you know, I mean, it's 10% of what we make now. So it was very minimal, the orders that came in, if any, through our four different distribution. So we distribute Southern Arizona, Northern Arizona, Phoenix area, and then the Tucson area. And those really, you know, from orders, they changed from last week to this week.
Yeah.
Completely.
Yes, I know I can ask you this question because I saw the numbers on another interview you did, I believe, on a TV station. What would you say is the dollar impact of this on your business over the next 4 to 6 weeks?
Well, just so you know, and we did an interview with Tegon 9. We just for the month, the projections that we had, we lost about $45,000. And that is, you know, we were open for about 9 days. Full production the first 9 days of the month. So we're looking more monthly at $57,000. And that's just an average estimate. But the $45,000 that we came up with for the month of March was in between our regular taproom sales, our events. But once again, because we're a big venue, we host a lot of events and different groups. So and also our distribution. So we roughly were about $45,000 in the red for the month.
Jeez. I want to make sure I have obviously time to, we got about 5 minutes left. I want to make sure people know how to buy from you and support you locally here. But is there anything as a local business that you still feel like you need from city, state, federal, you pick S, that you need in terms of support of your business? Any policy changes that you're kind of hoping get made here in the next week or so?
So I'm interested to hear what Maxelle is going to say once she comes on the show as well, because I'm a little baffled by what happened yesterday and the vote not going through and trying to see if they're actually working towards a better stimulus package for the American population. Now, there's a couple things that Ducey offered. There is a disaster under COVID-19 to apply for an SBA loan. At the present time, that's the only thing that's being offered to businesses to be able to pay for their employees. We are paying for some employees out of pocket, or given minimum shifts so they can go ahead and at least have some kind of income. But there's nothing really concise or nothing really directive from our local officials or state officials or federal officials that will let us know exactly how much money is coming. Essentially what they're saying is, if you'd like to apply for an SBA loan at 3.75% and get more in debt, we can provide that for you. But we still don't know if it's SBA loans. They have an average of 4 months. We don't know. They're promising about a month or two. That might be a little detrimental to different businesses. I mean, Old Chicago over at Campbell closed down indefinitely, just because there's no aid that's coming out to businesses or regular citizens right away. Right. So, I mean, we get it. The government needs a little bit of time to figure out how to proceed with this pandemic. But it's just, I think, sadly, it's probably going to put some business, some places out of business.
Yeah. We're talking with Esteron. He's the CEO of Borderlands Brewing Company. Man, so much I want to talk to you about. I might have to have you back on, S, because this is really good stuff on the ground here. Let's make sure we get to this question, because I want to drive business your way. I want our local community to support you. What are you still selling, and what are workers still producing for you, and how do we get a hold of it? Tell us how to purchase from you, even though we can't, you know, come into your physical location for the moment.
Well, Zach, thank you very much for asking that. So we try to restructure our way of production. So we are actually going to be canning a beer that we never canned before, but it's been really popular in the tap room, which is the Prickly Pear Wheat. This week, we're also canning Tool Avenue IPA, which is a fairly common popular beer in our tap room as well. So we're switching our production to canning at this time. We also have the Noche Dulce, the Citrana Sour, and the German chocolate cake, which a lot of people were looking into that. So we are delivering. If you go to squareup.com/store/Borderlands, you'll be able to see our products there. We do delivery within 5 miles. We also do curbside pickup. And if you want to do a delivery online, you can go online and we can meet you outside. So we're still offering that, our food aspect of the business. We're also serving tacos to whoever would like the orders to go. So, we're adapting and we understand what's going on. We appreciate all the help that we've been getting this past week or week and a half from our local community. So, we're still here.
And I would just say, because I love what you're doing on social media, that you'd probably encourage local businesses. Don't necessarily even just put your head down, try to get through this. Don't try to do what you've always done. Pivot, innovate, adapt. I mean, your videos on social media, your content marketing game, I'm just really impressed, S. Any quick advice for businesses like yours right here in Tucson to survive and thrive through this crazy time?
You know, when you hire your individuals that work at your company, you know they're dynamic. You know they can do many things. So tap into their creativity. Ask them, hey, what do you guys think we should do? What do you think about doing this? Can we do that? A lot of those videos, a lot of those, that social media marketing that we have, it's coming from our employees. And we're just saying, all right, let's do it. Let's do this. Let's do that. And kind of just giving a little bit of hours and a little bit of salary here and trying to, you know, get the creative minds working. But in reality, use your employees, use the dynamic that you have on your employees. I mean, I think that's key.
I love it. S, we've got under a minute to go, so we're going to leave it at this one more time where people can go and buy your food and drink and get it delivered.
Of course. The website is squareup.com/store/Borderlands. You'll be able to see anything from our tacos to our growlers to our cans, new sticker packs, merchandise, anything you guys will need. We appreciate all the help Tucson's given us.
Beautiful. Tucson, keep it up. This is how people that are like you and me can support men and women like S and the Borderlands Brewing Company team. S, thanks so much for carving out a few minutes for us for this local business spotlight. Appreciate you and what you mean for Tucson. Stay strong and let us know what we can do for you.
Appreciate your help, Zach. Make sure you ask the tough questions.
I appreciate it. Thanks, S. Greg Gehringer, the role of media coming up, and then Senator Martha McSally at 9:45. Message me your questions. Be happy to ask as many as I can of the senator. We'll be right back after the break here on Tipping Point, 10:30 The Voice.
CBS News at the top and bottom of every hour. 10:30 The Voice, Tucson's trusted local news and talk.
Tucson, Tipping Point is proud to have Why I Love Where I Live as a sponsor of our program. It's a brand and movement that began here in Tucson to spark gratitude and celebrate the good things about where we live. Visit their shop filled with locally designed goods and resources to encourage an appreciation and curiosity about what makes Tucson special and unique. Located at the MSA Annex just west of I-10 and Congress, find more details and shop hours at their website, whyilovewhereilive.com. I'm Zach Yenser, host of Tipping Point. We know that one out of every four persons in Tucson is living in poverty. I'm pleased to be partnering with Impact of Southern Arizona, a nonprofit that works to stabilize families and guide and support them on pathways out of poverty. Celebrating their 20th anniversary, they've invested $22 million into the community and are just getting started. Head to impactsoaz.org for more information and to explore how you can get a credit on your state taxes this year by supporting them. As always, talk to your tax professional. Today's hot real estate market comes with its own challenges. If you're trying to buy a home, you have to move fast or it's gone fast. Selling your home, that's just always a hassle. But it doesn't have to be your experience. My friend Jason Carlton is a real estate consultant servicing the Tucson metro area. His passion is to help families sell and buy homes with expertise, genuine care, and responsiveness. Feel free to call or text him with any real estate needs to get started. 520-310-6761.
Trusted local news and talk. 1030, The Voice.
Tucson, welcome on back into Tipping Point. This segment is sponsored by The Talent Store, founded by, I'm proud to call her friend, Devin Underwood. She's a local talent strategist that helps local companies like so many of yours listening win the battle for talent through their recruiting services and talent strategy consulting. From attracting a high-level leader, filling a key management position, just retaining your teams that you currently have, talent strategy is important. Don't wing it. For more information, visit yourtalentstore.com and schedule a free consultation. This is going to be very important once everything gets back on the rails here after this. Greg Gehringer, we know you in so many ways here, and a friend of the show here at the station, produced so much of the great content that we have. We got to talking the other day about how we feel like the accusation that the media is hyping COVID-19 to a point where it shouldn't be is not fair, and that the media is not fair,
right?
And it can be doomsday about this as well. We felt like both sides of the spectrum were incorrect, and wanted to talk about that a little bit. And you've got a lot of research into this. You're one of our production managers here at the station, at the front lines of this stuff. And I thought it'd be an interesting segment to talk about the role of the media and other things here at COVID-19.
Well, I don't think there's any question, Zach, that from the beginning, before things got bad, let's say, that there was a salaciousness. You know, my wife watched the Today Show.
Yeah.
Now, even prior to that, everything that opens on the Today Show is breaking overnight. And the first 15 minutes of the show weeks ago, the worst stories they could find related to coronavirus globally were in the face of soccer moms.
Mm-hmm.
So we started to see the end of February, the hyping of it led to the shortages of hand sanitizer to begin with. Then it went to toilet paper. Those two things being examples of zero risk bias, where helpless people think, I need to do something. Everybody's buying toilet paper. Let's go buy toilet paper.
Right.
We're at a completely different phase of it now. It's important that the media share, you know, certain information. We don't question that at all. But I feel like, for example, tempering the language.
Mm.
Somebody used an example of stop using terms like cases are soaring.
Mm.
We're going to see more cases in Arizona because more testing is going to occur.
Right.
It doesn't mean transmission is soaring. It doesn't mean deaths are going to soar.
But you would agree that when Trump's Surgeon General says this is going to be the hardest week of it all, stay home. When the news media says this will be the hardest week, stay home. That's not,
That's a completely different thing. One of the other things, Zach, is a lot of outlets want to latch onto worst case scenario mathematical models.
Yeah.
And I've said all along, I told you this last week, that, for example, the Imperial College of London's report that 1.5 million people could die, you know, that those mathematical models often fail to take into account things like population density. You know, there's no question that a place like Italy is dramatically different than the United States as a whole.
Right.
But
and Boise, Idaho.
Then,
right.
Well, especially Arizona. I mean, look at our population density. Even in urban areas like Phoenix and Tucson, it's still dramatically different. We also don't factor in the mean or median age. For example, you know, the mean age in Spain, 44.9. The mean age in Germany, over 44. The median age in Italy, 45. We're at 38.2. That's still a big difference. Right. We're a much younger country. So therefore, how do those, I mean, maybe right. there is a mathematician out there that can call in and share, but the data points of these things are all over the place, and people are willing to accept them. As dark and dire as they can be, people are looking at that and going, oh my God, 1.5 million people could die. Well, no, that's, you right. know, it just, that's what I'm talking about with media responsibility. I feel like outlets are just grabbing whatever they can still
right.
and shoving it in people's faces.
So, Greg, I want to ask you this, and we have a caller on the line I want to get to in just a minute, but this is not to say that you are a denialist.
No, right? I'm not a denialist.
And so I'd be curious, so my spot behind the mic, you're someone who's gone, yeah, this is a problem, we need to respond to it. What is the role of someone like me in your mind? Someone like us, you're here at a radio station, you've been working in radio. What's our role to be saying, this is the challenge, this is the response, but not to be like overhyping it or exaggerating mathematical models? Where's that middle ground for people like me, Greg?
Well, I think that, again, continuing to talk about what's Arizona going to do to discuss decisions that have already been made by Romero or Ducey or other mayors across the state? I don't think there's any problem with that at all. You know, and I think that we as a local radio station, as this thing continues to intensify in our city, sharing information about resources throughout the city. You know, I mean, that's kind of your role. You can certainly share opinions. You're an opinion show. So, I mean, what are your thoughts? I mean, do you feel that, I feel that we have been very responsible in our coverage of this on KVOI, on all our shows.
Right. No, I think so. I mean, I think that in many regards, people aren't taking this seriously enough.
There are those that aren't.
And I think that if we don't take firm public health action on the front end, then we'll deal with it more heavily on the back end. And so one of the things I've been trying to share is, like, this is important and we're here. But to your point, Greg, what I've been sharing more of is, how do we support our community through this? Because I think the philosophizing is above our level, right? The mathematical models are above our level. The fact is, we're shut down as a city. What do we do about it? You know?
Well, we continue to try to promote our local businesses, which, you know, I think that Chris did a fantastic job with what he did on Friday. I think you continue to do a good job on our sister station, 106.3 The Groove. We've tried to find a means to help local businesses that are still open promote themselves, especially restaurants. We do that. That's one of the parts that we can share.
Right.
You know?
Right. Let's go to Doug on the line. Doug called 790-2040. Doug, you're live. Thanks for chatting with us.
Good morning. I really agree with what Greg is saying there. And, you know, I used to be in the media business, so I kind of understand how it works. And, you know, if it bleeds, it leads was, you know, something that used to be said in the newspaper business. And it's natural to want to go for sensational stories. And I think there was a lot of hype. And I also agree there is a real problem. But if you heard Governor Cuomo today, you can see that he is, I think, pivoting, and they have the worst problem there in New York, but he was already kind of indicating this morning we need to look forward as to how we move out of this economically. And he started talking about young people aren't affected, you know, much by it, and very few people really die from this disease, and maybe what we need to do is look at getting young people back working. And you know, we just can't go on for months and months being paralyzed. There's going to have to be a way forward and some kind of a sensible approach, which may be isolating people that are at high risk and then letting others, you know, work. And then one of the things he talked about as well is that people that have been infected and recovered have antibodies in them that they're looking at harvesting to try to fight the disease. So there's going to be things we learn from this and things that we are able to glean out of it. But you know, we can't continue long-term to be paralyzed. It will destroy our country. So we'll have to move forward and, you know, you mentioned it earlier with, you know, Borderlands Brewery and other local businesses. You have to be creative and innovative, but also we have to get back to work at some point, figure a way to work without infecting people and without making the problem worse.
Doug, but I appreciate
appreciate you guys, and keep it up. We're going to get through this.
Yes. Yes, sir. Doug, thanks for your call. I appreciate it. Greg, last words on that. Any final thoughts before we...
No, I think he summed it up as well. You know, I just think that we need to try to find the silver linings that are there. And I think we need to, you know, not panic. Even things like the shortage of beds and respirators at hospitals. I think our hospitals are going to be okay. And I personally think we're lucky that we don't have a nationalized healthcare system like the NHS in the UK. Mm-hmm. I think that we will have better outcomes than they did over there. Another thing the mathematical models fail to factor in.
Right, right. So the lesson for me, the lesson for us, Greg, is share the news, share with people information helps how to think, not what to think. And
often
the news oversteps that by telling you what to think. And so we can't castigate the media, but they can't exaggerate the situation either.
Perfect way to say it, Zach.
Greg, this is we want to take some of our behind-the-scenes conversations and do it on the air.
Exactly.
Thank you, sir, for kicking us off on Monday. I would do another hour with you, except Senator Martha McSally, Arizona Senator Martha McSally, is calling in momentarily to update us on what happened yesterday when the Senate failed to move forward with coronavirus Phase 3 bill amid opposition from the Democrats. We'll talk about what they did like, where we go from here. To Greg's point, what does the future look like? What does moving forward look like? Don't go away. We'll be right back with the Senator. 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk.
We have lots of ideas
and even some solutions. 1030 The Voice.
25 years ago, the University of Arizona took a bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. This year, we celebrate 25 years of success at the UA Tech Park. Whether it's 20 new startups at the U of A Center for Innovation, the new tech park at the Bridges that just broke ground, or the Forge at Roy Place, we're looking forward on Tipping Point to celebrating this anniversary year by telling the stories of the people and ideas to the University of Arizona driving innovation in our region, moving at the speed of business.
When did you lose control? Was it when you became a number and not a person? Or was it when you accepted that this is just the way things are? Truth is, you didn't lose control. You gave it up. Because you have a choice. You can make them too big to fail and fail to belong to something bigger. Or you can put your money where your values lie and make your community too strong to fail. The choice is yours. Or are you going to give that up too? Vantage West. Banks own you. You own us.
Federally insured by NCUA.
It's that time of year. Everyone hates it. It's tax time. But there's no reason to stress. Shanae and the team at Simply Bookkeeping and Taxes can take care of it all for you and make it simple and easy. For Tipping Point listeners only, Shanae is offering a one-time special offer of 50% off your personal or business tax prep. Call 520-838-0856 and let her know Zach sent you to get started.
So many of you listening right now are leading a successful and growing business here in Tucson. You know it depends on finding and keeping the right talent. Doing it right can help you stand out and have an edge as a leading employment brand. Wing it, and you might see a great candidate head to a competitor. The Talent Store has helped local Tucson companies like yours win the battle for talent through their recruiting services and consulting. Whether you're looking for a high-level leader, filling a key position, or just want to retain and develop your current team, visit yourtalentstore.com today for a free consultation.
This is The Voice, 1030, Tucson's trusted news and talk.
To Tucson. Welcome back to Tipping Point. I'm your host, Zach Yenser. On the line with us for the rest of the hour now is Arizona Senator Martha McSally. I believe still in Washington, D.C. At this moment, as the Senate failed yesterday to move forward with the coronavirus phase 3 bill amid some last minute opposition and concerns from the Democrats in the Senate and House, not enough Senate votes and also House concerns. Senator McSally, thank you so much for your time this morning. I appreciate it.
Hey, Zach, how are you doing?
Doing pretty good. Did you have a fun weekend?
We've been working around the clock. We're in wartime footing here. And let me first say my heart goes out to all the patients right now and families who are suffering from coronavirus, especially those who have underlying conditions and the elderly who are the most at risk, and especially our frontline warriors and heroes in this battle, our nurses, our doctors, everybody who works at a healthcare facility, to include those making food and cleaning up, across the board, our first responders, you know, those of us who served in the military, we often get told, you know, thank you for your service. Right now in this war, yep. It's important we all come behind our amazing warriors in the healthcare front lines who are saving lives right now.
Senator Martha McSally, I agree with that. What was the hangup? First of all, tell us about this phase 3 bill. What are the bullet points? It seemed to be at the finish line, and mm-hmm. Tell us about why it didn't quite make it and what some of the concerns are with this bill.
Well, it's so important that we act swiftly in order to get relief to American workers and families and small businesses. What we're trying to do is a multifaceted approach here. First is cash to Americans as quickly as possible for an individual $1,200, a couple $2,400, $500 for each additional kid, so that they have what they need in order to pay their rent, to buy food, as we're telling people to please stay home and practice social distancing. The second piece is supporting unemployment. If somebody has been let go and they need to get unemployment, we're expanding who that applies to, so it's not just the traditional workers, but also self-employed, independent contractors, Uber drivers, and plussing that number up. In Arizona, traditional unemployment is $250 per week. We're plussing that up by $600 across the country, so $850 a week for those who have been let go. Another important piece is support to small businesses. Many of them are on the verge of having to close their business because of this unprecedented fight. And when we get on the other side of this, we want to have employees connected with employers to the max extent possible, so that we can turn the key and there's actually businesses to go back to work for. And those who also provide healthcare coverage, staying connected and on the payroll is really important for our society and our communities. So the part of the bill that provides support to small businesses allows them, through a program, not to stand in line with a government agency, but through some specific banks who are already trained up on a process. I won't bore you with the details. They can actually go in the door of those banks and get support for payroll and overhead, so they can keep people on the payroll and keep the rent being paid, so their business doesn't go bankrupt until we get through this. So these are the key elements. There's some other elements in there that are really important to increase cash flow for businesses that don't qualify for this. We also have a lot of large employers in Arizona, and we need to make sure that they also can stay available to keep the business and the jobs on the other side of this. Unfortunately, Nancy Pelosi flew into town. We had some really strong bipartisan agreements on all these elements, and we were so close to getting a bill passed yesterday, and it's been poisoned, unfortunately, with a number of demands for politically ideological issues that have literally nothing to do with what the American workers and families and small businesses are urgently needing our support for. There's also important elements of support for our healthcare workers, our hospitals, for masks and equipment and investing in testing capabilities and treatment capabilities and all that. This is all in this bill. So I would implore, it's extremely tone deaf for insiders who are ideologically focused on power in D.C. To be stalling this thing for things that have nothing to do with the urgent needs of all Americans. So I also think senators shouldn't be paid during this if they can't push this out. There's a lot of Americans that aren't being paid, so I'm going to be introduced legislation immediately. I don't think anybody should be getting paid until they work around the clock to get this done.
Senator Mick Sally, certainly one of the examples of the issue that you mentioned that Republicans don't feel is necessary is a proposal to wipe off $10,000 from anyone who owns federal student loans. But to your other points, the Democrats on the other side of the aisle are wanting more money for hospitals and healthcare providers, are wanting to see more state and local government funding. Initially, they asked for $750 billion in state aid. So certainly there's an extension of some of the things that are proposed in this bill, $1.4 trillion phase three stimulus package, that Democrats seem to want to see more of. Is it the more part, or is it the elements part?
Literally, that's their talking points. This is what's going on right now. They want to use this for greater collective bargaining. They want to use this for demanding emissions changes for their climate change agenda. Like, this is how out of touch they are, and this is what's going on right now. So we are in agreement in the rank and file, Republicans and Democrats. Of course, we're going to give resources to our hospitals and our healthcare workers. We're going to make sure they have everything they need, and if they need more, then we'll pass more. So this is not what this is about. This is about individuals, a few individuals, trying to pretend that what you just said is what their focus is. But in reality, as Rahm Emanuel said, you know, don't let a crisis go to waste. They're trying to make structural changes for their ideological agenda. Just a few of them. The rank and file Democrats are with us, but their leadership is locking them down right now. And I really hope that they'll step up and do the right thing. We're voting here, I think, hopefully within the hour. And I really hope people will step up and do the right thing to move this forward. This isn't the final bill. We're still working changes to the bill, but we're just simply trying to proceed to the bill, which most Americans and Arizonans rightfully don't care about the procedural things up here. They just want us to get it done urgently, and that's what I'm focused on. Stop with the political games. Let's get out there and support the American people. Let's get relief to Arizonans immediately.
Senator Martha McSally, what would you say to the other piece of pushback? And I want to ask you a statewide question as well, that this provides too much funding to corporations with too little accountability. We've heard that as well. How would you respond to that?
So there is existing authority for the Treasury and the Fed to be able to help employers that are above 500, which there's many of those in Arizona. They're employing our neighbors. They're employing our people in our community, and we need to make sure that they don't go under either. So there's different mechanisms related to that. And again, there's just political attacks that are happening. But as you're seeing the challenges across the country, it doesn't matter if you are self-employed or you employ 50 people or you employ 505 people. We need to make sure that everyone who's giving a job to an American, to an Arizonan, has the ability to not go under during this. And there's different mechanisms we can use. With unity together, we can get this done.
Senator Martha McSally, where does this, maybe in a minute or less, where does this go from here? What's the end game? What are you up to now?
Yeah, we're going to have another vote here soon. My hope is that, you know, Democrats who've been working with us, who see the importance of urgently passing this, put their vote to yes. Then we still have to work through some more negotiations to get a final bill done. I really hope and pray that this happens today. Every single day is like an eternity to the families and the workers and the small businesses who are waiting for relief. We need to get past this and get to implementation so that we can get cash to businesses and people before they get into severe risk and businesses, small businesses go bankrupt. So let's get it done today. It's time to put differences aside and work together and show them, as Americans are coming together to do the right thing, we need Congress to come together to do the right thing.
I absolutely agree with that, Senator Martha McSally. Maybe on the home front, here in Arizona, Governor Doug Ducey said, at least in the last 24, 48 hours, there's no need for stay-at-home order for Arizonans, that his directive to close restaurants and bars and some key public spaces is enough. No stay-at-home order necessary. You're watching this thing unfold on a national level. Do you agree that we're not at that point yet for Arizona, or would you push farther than the governor has at this point?
Well, look, Governor Ducey has got that authority to make those decisions for Arizona. We're up here in D.C. trying to get relief and support to everybody out there. But if you listen to the experts, they will tell you if we do nothing, then you see the pandemic, how it spreads very rapidly, and the impact that it will have on the elderly and the sick is significant. What we don't want to do is overwhelm our healthcare system, where healthcare workers are getting sick because we're spreading it around. But if we shut down everything altogether, we could have massive implications economically that can also provide disastrous healthcare outcomes for people. So there's that balancing that you're seeing regionally. What's happening in New York, what's happening in California is we're at a different phase here in Arizona, but everybody should still do our part. There's people in essential work that still can go to work and still get paid, but we need to each wash our hands, stay home if we can, stay away from other people, clean your surfaces, don't get in a place where you're around a lot of people. So you are not inadvertently spreading the virus. If you're sick, you have to stay home. You have to quarantine yourself. So we're a free society. We're asking people to educate themselves and to listen to the directions and to choose to do the right thing in order to protect the elderly, the greatest generation, and those who are vulnerable and our healthcare workers. As this thing progresses, there may be different guidance by the governor. I'll let him and his team make those decisions. We're focusing on the federal level, what we can do, and working in very close conjunction with him.
Senator Martha McSally, I'd love to force in one more question, but I'd end up cutting you off because we're just about at time. Thank you so much for taking time to call in here to Tucson and talk to our listeners about what's happening. Again, this Phase 3 bill, $1.4 trillion stimulus package, looked to be at the finish line yesterday, seems to be pulled back at the moment. I think I can speak for most of us, if not all of us here in Tucson. We just want something to get done today as soon as possible. So good luck. Thank you for your advocacy for that. And stay safe and stay healthy.
Absolutely. For everybody else, too. Thank you. Take care.
Senator Martha McSally, I'll reach out and we'll be in touch. That was our conversation with the senator on what happened yesterday in the Senate and the House to some extent, where we go from here. We know that Rand Paul was the first senator to test positive for coronavirus. He seems to be okay. But the more these men and women are in the same space, the more the potential becomes for them to contract this thing. So wishing health to everybody. And by the way, I'm trying to get a hold of Senator Kyrsten Sinema as well. Our Democratic senator here in Arizona had to get her view. We'll try to touch bases on that as well. That's it for us here on Tipping Point on 1030, The Voice here in Tucson. Thanks for listening. We'll be back with Tech and Tacos tomorrow, a COVID break. We'll see you soon.
KVOI Cortero, AM 1030, The Voice of Tucson. Trusted local news and talk. A Bustos Media Station.